I don't know who got that awesome send-off, but I think you're going to make a lot of people jealous. A lot of people jealous. Oh, it's good to be together with you in worshiping. Well, today we want to finish up our He Calls series, and I want to talk to you about being in over your head. And I think that's a very common feeling at times that we have. We might not express it that way, but sometimes life is a bit much. And I don't know about you, but I couldn't count how many times I've felt in life that I was in over my head. Now, maybe some of you today are here, and you're feeling that. Maybe you're not. If you're not, I'm not looking to make you feel that way. But and you're having a good day. That's great. But if you're not, at some point, you know that it comes back around where life can just be too much. Some of us, sometimes we feel like we're being pounded by life, by waves, and we're not always sure exactly at times what it is that's causing that to happen. We might feel like it's a poor choice that we've made, or just something that's just happening in our lives. We can kind of question, where is God in this? But I want to challenge your thinking today with this thought. Whatever it is that you're feeling, now, I don't want to make any enemies by saying this, but it's exactly where you need to be. And I'm going to try to connect that for you as we get into the story this morning in Scriptures. You are exactly where you should be. It may be a mystery to you and I what we're going through at times and what we're experiencing, but it's not a mystery to God. And if we are a people who believe that God is with us, that God goes before us, that even when we make wrong turns, doesn't mean that He's not there. And sometimes He even puts us in positions where life can beat up on us. Now, you might have a hard time connecting that thought because why would God do such a thing? But God always has a reason for doing it. And remember, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And I believe that if we stay connected and we remain aware of Him, the answers will come. So this morning I want to go with you to Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to read a very familiar portion of Scripture, but I want to encourage you to maybe take a look from another angle. This is in a time where Jesus is just getting done feeding thousands, and it's the end of the day, and He is going to put His disciples in a boat. And some might say, if we read it a certain way, that He is actually putting them in a position, maybe even in harm's way. And it goes on to say that immediately after all those things happened, after they fed the thousands, Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead of Him to the other side. And while He dismissed the crowd, and after He had dismissed them, He went up on a mountainside by Himself to pray. Later that night, He was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by waves because of the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out His hand and caught him. "You of little faith," He said, "why do you doubt? Why do you doubt?" Interesting that Jesus is going on and He has called these men to Him, and He has been building a relationship which included so many different experiences with Him, building a relationship and teaching them along the way. He called them and He brought them to Himself, and He established that relationship. And here we are in a moment of time where he has taken them and he has put them in this boat and he has set them out. In this boat, in this journey, really kind of speaks to, at times, what happens in our walk with Christ. He calls us, he establishes us, this relationship we have with him, and then he sends us. And for them at that moment, he was sending them on this boat. We would like to think that whenever God sends us, everything is going to go smooth. But you and I already know the truth. It doesn't always go smooth. Life gets rough. It beats up on us in many and in various different ways. We have learned it through the school of hard knocks and through just being who we are and living this life. And so we can find ourselves, as they did, buffeted by life, by the waves. Now, I don't know about you, but I have gone through times where I've thought, this should not be. I've chosen to follow you, Lord. And I would expect that things would just go a little bit smoother because of my faith. But here I find myself questioning, what in the world is going on? Why is this storm upon me? Why is it so dark and so cloudy out? And why am I getting beaten up like this? Something cannot be right. Something is wrong. And I would argue with that. I might even get angry with God at times. Not a problem, because he's big enough. His shoulders are wide enough. And he is strong enough to deal with it. But this is what happens in life. And the fact is that it is a part of this life in Christ. And thank God, how many of us have said, I don't know how people get through life without a relationship with him. But at times, even this relationship puts us in places where we wouldn't expect to be or we wouldn't desire to be. But it's very much the truth of life. And the fact is that life can be a bit too much. It's a bit too much. And I want to say to you this morning that this relationship that God has given us can be a bit much. Think about it this way. I think, personally, that in this life, that being faithful and walking with him at times is a bit over my head. And I think it was a bit over the heads of the disciples. When you think about the things that Jesus taught and what he asked them to do and how he expected them and called them to live their lives on a daily basis, come on, let's be real. Let's admit it. It's over our heads. You want me to do what, Lord? You expect me to treat this person a certain way? And I want to get into two portions of scripture to me that just highlight the overwhelming, I just for lack of a better word, ridiculousness of at times what this life of faith calls us to do. Because it is beyond our human abilities, our human wills at times, to do the very things that Jesus has asked us to do. And the first scripture I want to look at with you is Matthew 5, 43 and 44. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, we can get all holy, all right? Say, yeah, I'm going to love my enemies today. I'm going to bless those who persecute me. But you know well that sometimes that's a tough, tough thing to do. Think about the political climate in our world today, in this nation alone. Tell me if you find it easy to love the person on the other side of the aisle, and I'm not talking about this aisle here, on the political aisle. Tell me, you can't tell me it's easy. Can't tell me that there are things that are said and done and laws that are put into practice that don't get under your skin and press your buttons. Tell me. And then there are the differences that we have with people. The differences that threaten our way of life. that threaten our systems of belief, okay, that kind of get us rattled, that we tighten up and stiffen up and get cramps over because we feel threatened. But Jesus is saying, love those who do that to you. And love those who make fun of you that you believe what you believe, that you hold the system of beliefs that you have. Love them. It's not always easy. Sometimes you may feel it's impossible, depending on the state of mind and in a place that your heart is in that moment. Another scripture, Luke 6:32-33. And Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And Jesus is kind of making this, kind of putting us in a place where we have to realize that sometimes, even though we are those who believe and follow, and we can say that we have been saved, that is redeemed, that we don't always act as if we are redeemed. And if we can't love those who despise us, who are different from us, then we have actually, in some sense, in our practical way of living, thrown the car in reverse. Yeah. And you know what that's like. You stop. It's almost the point where we almost actually want to refuse to enter in or to be around or to associate with others. We actually, in some respects, instead of building bridges, which God, by the way, has called us to do, He has given us life so that we would build a bridge to those who have no life. He has given us His light so that we might build a bridge to bring that light across to the other side. But at times, we throw it in reverse and we begin to build walls because they're not like me and they don't believe the things I believe. And I don't like the way I feel when I'm around them. Because it just makes me feel certain things. I'm challenged. And I just don't like that feeling. I want to be comfortable in who I am and what I believe. And I don't want to be challenged. But Jesus is saying the opposite, to go out into the world, into those places where you're challenged. Now, it's a bit too much sometimes. And we can get beat up and buffeted. And it's about Christ calling us not to Christianity, because Jesus never used that word, calling us to discipleship, which is a whole nother level. I think you and I can be honest with ourselves. There are many today who call themselves Christians who do things and act in ways that are not appropriate or in line with what Jesus called disciples. Because Jesus didn't come to make Christians. He came to make disciples. And at times, that is a bit over our heads. And we could feel ourselves sinking, much like Peter. And you say, well, yeah, I have seen Christ. Somewhere in my life, you have seen Christ. It's the very thing that you say as you're in that bit of a boat of your times that you want to get out. You want what He has. You know He can do what you can't do and what I can't do for ourselves. And so you want out of the boat and you want in with Him, in that relationship. But as soon as you get out there, you realize that you're in deep waters. And I don't know about staying on the surface of things here. And we begin to sink. Because life circumstances, the storms and the swirling winds and the hard rains and challenge that desire, that call that you have felt in your heart. Man, I want what he has. I don't want to remain the same. I want to believe that I can be, that there's something different for me, that God has something in mind for me. And you want to step out, and you should step out. But sometimes we begin to feel ourselves sinking because it's a bit much. It's not easy to be a disciple of Christ. It's easier to call ourselves Christians. It's much harder to be disciples of Christ. You see, it's almost an impossibility, if not an impossibility. But I want to say to you, this life, this calling, this walk is. Because so is this salvation that he has provided for us. It is beyond us. Look at Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace, right? You have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. In other words, you didn't come equipped with this. It is a gift of God. Think of yourself as a child. You go in a store and you see something that you want, but it's like four shelves over your head. And the rule is, as it was at Lowe's, don't go climbing the rafters for that 2x4. Don't go climbing the shelves for that thing that you want. Call an associate, and they'll come and get the ladder. Oh, and by the way, if you don't work for Lowe's, you're not allowed on the ladder. So if you go to Lowe's or Home Depot and you do it, stop it, okay? The thing is, someone else has to bring the ladder, and someone else is going to get that item for you, and that someone else is Christ. Because this thing called grace and faith is a gift, and it's out of our reach. It has been always over our heads, unreachable, until he came along and made it accessible. And I want to ask you today, what do you think grace is? Spackle or glue or cork that you can mix and apply? What is faith? Something that you can go to the store and purchase and pull from the shelf? It is an unaffordable gift that nothing you and I could put up as collateral is going to get it for us. It's not going to happen. It's over our heads. It's out of our reach until Jesus comes and he offered it to us. And I want to say to you that each of those disciples, everyone else, the 75 plus that we never read about by name but followed him, well, they were much like you and I. I don't know if you've ever seen the book, 12 Ordinary Men. It's worth the read. It's by John MacArthur. But it talks about the inconsistencies and the frailties and the shortcomings of the men he called. Yet God called them. And you and I are very much like that, you know? And maybe some of us find it easier than others that when we look in the mirror, we see our inconsistencies and our frailties and our shortcomings. But here's the fact. God is calling you. And I don't care if you're sitting in this church for the first time and you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to say to you, you're sitting here, God is calling you. And he knows full well your inconsistencies and your frailties and your shortcomings. He knows when you're going to stumble. He knows you're going to go under. You're going to lack. You're going to doubt. You're going to fall short. But he calls you anyway, because he's going to be there for you. He's going to reach down for you and me when we need it. And how exciting that we would be like them, to be in that boat and look out and see someone who can do something that we can't do, who can save us because we can't save ourselves, who can mend us when we're broken because we can't do it ourselves. And of course, you want what he has. If you're sitting here and you don't want what he has, it just means that you need to wipe your eyes, or clean your glasses, or have another cup of coffee. So whatever it takes to become aware of him. Because I think in time, even if you're not seeing it today, God wants to bring you to a place where he wants you to be aware of what he wants to do. And it doesn't matter, because he already knows when he puts you in that boat that you're going to get flipped out and freaked out by the storms of life. You're going to panic. You're going to doubt. You're going to become troubled in heart. You're going to cry out. And when you do, he'll be there. When you start to sink and you feel like life is going to drown you, or this trial is going to drown you, or you're going to grab and grasp for your last breath of air, his hand is there. His hand is there. You and I have gone through different times in our lives when we felt that this life and what we were going through was over our heads and we were about to drown. I kind of, last night, kind of scanned through the different times of my life when I was a teenager. And all my friends and family moved away, and my mother and father and I and my brother were the last of the family and friends that stayed in Queens Village because everybody else was moving out to Long Island, and how that made me feel. Life was a bit overwhelming then. As I got in with the wrong crowd and became a young adult and started making some really, really bad choices, I did so because life was over my head. And so I thought it'd be wise if I medicate myself. And as I grew up and I got married, and marriage was over my head, and then becoming a father was over my head. In many different stages, even as I grew up and got into to my trade and earned a living, I remember the different times where being a plumber and experiencing the next phase of my growth in that field was over my head. It was too much. It was just too much. And then growing in my faith and being here today with you and being a pastor, at times is a bit over my head. But in every one of those circumstances, as I scanned and thought about it last night, every one of those circumstances, Christ was there. And when I felt myself going down and under, I cried out to him. And he was right there. Just like with Peter, immediately he was there. And he reached down his hand. And I had a hand to grab. And he lifted me up. And many of you could say the same. He's there to lift you up. Because he knows that this life is a bit too much. That it's overwhelming. That'll swallow you up whole. But he's the one that makes all the difference. And I want to close with for me it's one of my favorite scriptures. It's kind of obscured compared to some other scriptures, but I love the picture that it paints and the story that it tells. Now, the backdrop to this verse is that Jesus is resurrected, he's gone, the Holy Spirit has come, and Peter and John are on their way to the temple to pray. And they heal this guy, and they proclaim the name of Jesus, and they get in a lot of trouble. And they get pulled in by the religious leaders, who are trying to tell him, what the heck do you think you're doing? And who do you think you are? And so they threaten them and they kind of rough them up, you know. But it goes on to say this. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were, listen, unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men, here's the clincher, that these men had been with Jesus. Unschooled, ordinary men, they were in over their heads. They were instructing and teaching. They were not Pharisees or Sadducees. They didn't go through the schools of thought for that day. But Christ called them. He began to fashion them. And I want to say to you, I don't know what you think of yourselves when it comes to your faith and your life, what you don't have, where you've come from. But I want to tell you, Christ wants to put his hand on you. And he wants to use you. Because it's not about what you have or don't have. It's about who he is. Because we're all made of the same material and we're all lacking something. But if you have him, that will make all the difference. Regardless of how you feel about yourself today, your successes or your failures, your downfalls, your shortcomings, your poor choices, Christ can take that, even that, and use it. Nothing goes to waste with God. Nothing. Yeah, but you don't know what I did. Nothing goes to waste with God. You don't know what's going on inside of me, though. Nothing goes to waste with God. Regardless of what's going inside of you, your past, your present, or what you even think is going to happen in the future that right now dawns on you and kind of hangs over you as a negative, God is able. And when it's too much and you start to sink again, he's there. He's there. And he will reach for you. He will extend his hand to you. And all he wants us to do is to reach out and take it. He is the one that calls. He is the one that transforms. He is the one, the only one that's ever going to make the difference day in and day out. It's only him. And I encourage you in this year, as we now enter into its second month, and man, how time flies, he's going to be there. And there are things that he wants to reveal to you, things he wants to say to you. And he might direct you, and you might find yourself that you're in harm's way at the moment. And why did I do this? He places us on that boat, and he sends us out. And even after that time, Jesus continually did that with them. He continually sent them out. Continually sent them out. Continually sent them out. Because the rest of the world needed what they had. And I want to say to you that the world around us needs what we have. And I believe it's worth the price of being sent out, regardless of what storms are ahead for us as a people of God. It's worth it because in those storms, on the other side of that storm, there's someone on the other side, on the other shore, that needs what we have. And God's never given us that faith and grace and all his promises just simply for you and I to hold on to it for ourselves. It has always been with the intention to do what he has done, to give it away, to share it with others, so that our lives make a difference in someone else's life, just as someone in our lives has shared with us and made a difference in our life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you for this opportunity, oh God, to be together. Lord, thank you for always being near to us. Lord, I pray, oh God, whatever it is that you have in store for us, Lord, we want to. We want what you have. There is something different with you than all other names that have ever been given to us. And so, oh God, today, we want to step out. And maybe we're like the other 11. We're fearful. We don't want to get out of that boat. Maybe we're not in the position that Peter was in. But Lord, in our hearts, we want to walk with you. We want to go where you go. Help us to understand that sometimes that will be fearful and we will hesitate. And once even committing to it, we may find ourselves troubled. But oh God, we want you. We want what you have to offer. As we've taken this moment to quiet ourselves and to close out the distractions around us, if you're here today and you want something more out of life, you may even want something more from God, I want to give you the opportunity to just raise your hand before Him to say, oh God, I want you. I want more of you. I want what you have for me. Give me the courage to step out. To step onto the water, even though it is very unstable. Oh God, step out. Help us to step out. Let's stand together and sing that, will we? Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Amen. God bless you. As always, thank you for listening. Have a great week.